वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वोत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we discussed till the third verse yesterday. This chapter is entitled Attack by Chandavega on the city of Puranjan. So King Puranjan, after he came back to home after performing hunting, King Puranjan going to hunt in the forest represents how the living entity actually gets captivated by adharmic intelligence and then performs sinful activities. And then the living entity, he comes to his good sense, and then again he comes looking for his dharmic intelligence. And then when he comes back to his dharmic intelligence, and again he starts repenting for the sinful activities which he performed. And then starts consulting the dharmic intelligence. So that's why King Puranjan again returned to the home, and then he started inquiring from the assistants of the queen about the whereabouts of the queen, and the assistants informed how the how Puranjan's wife was actually lying on the floor because he had completely neglected her. And then Puranjan starts repenting, and Puranjan actually begs forgiveness from the queen, and then he says that you must punish me, and the punishment which you have given me is actually, I consider that punishment to be a great fortune. If a servant the servant who gets punishment from the master for performing certain mistake, such a servant is actually considered fortunate. If a servant does not get punishment, he is unfortunate. And then King Puranjan, in this way, he tells his wife that please actually show your beautiful face, please show your beautiful smile, beautiful teeth. So this actually represents that how the living entity should actually awaken his original consciousness. And then after Puranjan requests like that, then King Puranjan tells his wife that if somebody has offended you, if because of somebody performing the offense, is that the reason for you to be in this condition? If somebody has offended you, I am ready to punish that person, provided that person is not a Brahmana and if that person is not a Vaishnava. So Narada Muni says that Prabhupada explaining that Narada Muni is trying to remind Prachina Parishad about his forefather Prithu Maharaj, who never actually disrespected a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. And then King Puranjan again becomes attached to his wife, and he starts enjoying with his wife. And then the 27th chapter started, that how the wife of Puranjan brought Puranjan completely under his control, and both of them started enjoying. And King Puranjan also, he got attracted by the beautiful features of his wife, and the king welcomed her with all devotion. So then I just wanted to make one point, the third verse. So here it's explained that King Puranjan responded to her wife by embracing her shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Thus King Puranjan became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. So like His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj would always say that for a for a householder, he is always looking for an opportunity to spend some time in solitude with his wife. That is like the great pleasure for a materialist. So similarly, for a brahmachari, in general, actually for any devotee, especially for a brahmachari, that one should be actually looking forward for spending some time in solitude with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or in other words, that just like a householder is married to a wife and looking forward to spend some time in solitude with the wife, so similarly a brahmachari should get married to Srimad Bhagavatam, otherwise the walls of the brahmachari ashram will actually choke up that person. So this is like another thing we can take from this. So we'll go to the fourth verse. Shayana unnadda mado mahamana maharha talpe mahishi bhujopade tameva viro manute param yatas tamo vibhuto nanijam param chayat.
In this way, increasingly overwhelmed by illusion, King Puranjana, although advanced in consciousness, remained always lying down with his head on the pillow of his wife's arms. In this way, he considered woman to be his ultimate life and soul. Becoming thus overwhelmed by the mode of ignorance, he could not understand the meaning of self-realization of his self or of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So we can see here in Puranjan's this one, the Puranjan's wife actually represents the dharmic material intelligence. So here Puranjan became completely captivated by his wife. So this represents how a living entity can completely become captivated by the dharmic intelligence, because of which a person simply becomes absorbed in performing either karmakanda activities or simply becomes absorbed in performing his duties and does not actually inquire about the ultimate goal of life. So that's why Prabhupada, Krishna says that Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apakrita Chetasam Yavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhavna Vidiyate. When a person becomes attached to Bhoga and Aishwarya, in the case of King Puranjan, it is like Bhoga and Aishwarya coming from the performance of Dharma, but in the modern world, people are attached to Bhoga and Aishwarya coming from the performance of Adharma, coming from sinful activities. So Taya Apakrita Chetasam, that means like one's real intelligence is actually completely stolen away when a person becomes absorbed in Bhoga and Aishwarya. So, as I said, in the previous purport, Prabhupada explains that Pramada means that which can be enlivening as well as maddening. Enlivening as well as maddening. So, in the sense, karmakanda activities or the dharmic way of life can enliven a person, but at the same time, it can actually madden a person, in the sense that a person can get stuck up in those dharmic way of life itself. That is why in the previous purport, Prabhupada writes that point that simply by becoming dutiful, we do not make any profit in life. And then he quotes that Dharma Sunishita Pumsam. So, I think that Kapil Dev Siksha, there is a very beautiful verse which comes. Kapil Dev says that Tasyai Tasya Jano Noonam Nayam Vedor Vikramam Kalya Manopi Balino Vayo Riva Ganavali. That just like a mass of clouds, they are actually carried away by the wind, but they do not know the powerful influence of the wind, although they are being carried away by the wind. Similarly, a person engaged in material consciousness, such a person does not know the powerful strength of the time factor by which he is being carried. So that is why it is explained that Puranjan, he forgot how the time is passing in the form of days and nights, and how his lifespan was reduced without profit. So now in the fourth verse it is explained, Unnadda Madho Mahamana. Although Puranjan was advanced in consciousness, Mahamana, although he was advanced in consciousness, Unnadda Madho, he was increasingly illusioned, and Maharga Talpe, that means he was always lying down in the bedstead along with his wife, he was lying down with his head on the pillow of his wife's arms. So then what was the result? Tameva Viro Manute Param Yatas. He did not understand what the self is, or he did not understand what the supreme self is, or he neither inquired about who am I, or who neither already inquired about the Supreme Lord. And he just thought that the wife is all in all. Tameva Viro Manute Param Yatas. Consider the wife to be the ultimate life and soul. So on the spiritual side, the meaning is that a person considers the dharmic way of life to be the all in all. Dharmic way of life to be the all in all. A person completely, one does not inquire about the soul or the super soul. So in that sense, if we see, dharmic way of life can also cause as much impediment as a sinful way of life. There is a beautiful verse in the 11th canto. forget the verse, but then the meaning of the verse is like this. It is said that Hridayananda Maharaj gives this example. See, like sometimes, like suppose when a person has got a high fever and he has been diagnosed of malaria, so then the doctor gives some paracetamol and also some chloroquine tablets to complete the course. But then when he takes the paracetamol, his fever goes, his fever disappears, and then he feels that, oh, my fever has gone, so that means I become all right, so there is no need to take medicine. If he stops taking the medicine, it is just a matter of time that again it will come, because he has not completed the course of chloroquine, which is like medicine for malaria. So similarly, he says, people who are actually dharmic, who are leading a religious life, they say that, we are not fallen like maybe the sippies or other people. We are not committing these sinful activities. So we don't have to practice Krishna consciousness. We are already actually, we don't have any bad habits. Such people, when they stop inquiring about the ultimate goal of life, when they stop inquiring about what is the purpose of life, what happens after death, just because of being attached to the dharmic way of life, such people are also considered killers of the soul. So he says that just like when a person gets a disease, when the initial symptoms of the disease disappear and such people stop their medicine, although the disease is not completely cured, again the disease will come up. So similarly, when the initial symptoms of gross materialistic life disappear because of not having bad habits, etc., and when such people who are so-called in the mode of goodness, who are not deep, who are not very much in the deepest darkness of passion and ignorance, and such people, when they become attached to their mode of goodness, and such when they don't inquire about the ultimate goal of life, and they are also, they are actually killing their own soul. So he mentioned this verse in the 11th canto. So similarly here Puranjan was actually absorbed in the intelligence, in the dharmic intelligence. So here Prabhupada explains the principle of material attachment. So here he says that human life is meant for self-realization. First one has to realize the self, and then one has to realize the super self. But one cannot realize his own self. When one becomes too much materially attached, he takes a woman to be everything, then he cannot realize his own self or the super self. So mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. So therefore one has to associate with the mahatmas, and then the path of liberation is opened. So then he explains that, and on the other hand, if a person becomes either attached to women or persons who are attached to women, then the door for hellish life only is opened. Tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. And then he explained that King Puranjan was a great, highly intellectual soul possessed of advanced consciousness. But because of being attached to his because of being too much addicted to women, his whole consciousness was covered. So then he explains that the two steps of self-realization. First step is to know the self, and the step is to know the super self. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. So then Prabhupada explains, so therefore the greatest loss in the human form of life is actually when a person does not inquire about self-realization. Then another beautiful point Prabhupada explains. Here it is explained that King Puranjan was lying down on the lap of his wife, keeping her lap as the pillow. So Prabhupada says that thinking of women is equivalent to lying down with a woman. Thinking of a woman always within one's heart is tantamount to lying down with a woman on a valuable bedstead. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes one beautiful point. Like when he translates this word, Shayana Unnadda Madhu Mahamana. Mahamana he translates as, Mahamana means one who is generous in giving charity. Means like King Puranjan was actually generous in performing charity. But he became attached to his dharmic way of life, because of that he neither inquired about the soul or the super soul. So he says that the spiritual meaning is that because of association with dharma represented by his wife, he became attached to dharma, and that because his goal of life rather than liberation, and he did not know himself as jiva and did not know the supreme lord, and he became absorbed in giving charities. So Shivaram Maharaj writes in one of his books, like he talks about he writes a beautiful point about like mundane philanthropic work or giving charities like that. So he says, like yesterday I was mentioning about like anarthas can come from four sources: from pious activities, sinful activities, mistakes committed during the practice of devotional service, and from offenses. So one kind of, the first is like pious activity, anarthas can arise from pious activity or sinful activities. Like for example, the mundane religionists and altruists, they perform like giving charity, opening hospitals, or giving education to illiterate people. And they consider that as the ultimate goal of life. And like so much so that they say that like Manav Seva is Madhav Seva. And such people, they confuse mundane welfare work with the goal of life. And that is actually misunderstanding. They say Manav Seva is Madhav Seva, that is actually misunderstanding. And such people, so Shivaram Maharaj explains that pious attached work leads to the growth of the anarthas that bind the conditioned soul. When a person becomes attached to pious activities, they will bring about certain anarthas that will also bind a conditioned soul. Just like when a person becomes attached to sinful activities, it leads to certain anarthas that bind a conditioned soul. Similarly, being attached to pious activities can also produce anarthas. The only difference between these two anarthas is that pious activities, they may produce temporary material happiness. Sinful activities produce temporary misery. But both of them produce anarthas which bind the conditioned soul. So then he mentions, like Prabhupada would say that it is not our business simply to gain popularity by posing as a welfare institution. Because he mentions that when we simply perform philanthropic activities just to actually become famous, to do as a welfare institution, then what will happen is that it will mislead the public, that they will consider ISKCON more like some altruistic organization. It will mislead the public and also mislead the members of our own society. We may also think that, maybe that is our main goal, or we may also get misled. And then he mentions, furthermore, when we consider the philanthropic activities to be the ultimate service to humanity, devotees accumulate obstacles that are as burdensome to their spiritual life as those created by sinful acts. It's like pious activities can create as much as obstacles as the sinful acts. So therefore, like ISKCON's concern should be only to distribute pure devotional service. So he explains that, like, when a person, if he perform philanthropic activities, the purpose of those activities should be only to qualify the people for the process of pure devotion. Means, like, it can be used only to actually develop the qualification, like by distributing prasadam or something, like, only to actually make them qualified for pure devotion. But philanthropy is never the goal, it is just the tool. Like going through us explaining the class that, like, philanthropy is like an endless tunnel. You can never come out of it. It can be used only as a tool to give Krishna consciousness. So especially the point which he mentioned, that pious activities can create anarthas which can be as burdensome as the sinful activities. Endless tunnel, that means, like, there is no end to philanthropy actually. If you have to start doing philanthropy, like, you can keep on doing and you will only end up suffering, and it will never end. It's like a tunnel which you enter, you can never come out of the tunnel. So that is the point. Pious activities, how they can create anarthas? Dakshas, yeah, you know, maybe one can become proud of one's pious activities, can become proud of one's charity, how one is meticulously following the. Because if you see, any activity which are under the three modes of material nature, like the pious activities, that can actually, because it is under the three modes, that it can actually make a person proud, and then that pride will lead to actually further anarthas, anger, etc. But in the case of devotional service, like Sasura Maharaj explains in, I think, Narada Panchara, one of his books, he mentions that in the case of, sometimes devotees ask that, how to become humble. So he says, if you have to become humble, you continue to practice devotional service. If you chant more number of rounds, automatically you will become humble. Because the reason is that, because the process of devotional service is such that, because it is not under the three modes, even if a person approaches this process with the proud attitude, by coming in contact with the process will make that person humble. But on the other hand, even pious activity, even with a person, if a person actually approaches with a humble attitude, but because those processes are under the three modes, that processes can actually make a person actually proud of performing those activities in a meticulous manner, etc. So Mahamana means, like, Puranjan was actually giving so much charity. So here here Prabhupada talks about the principle of material attachment. When one becomes too much materially attached, he takes a woman to be everything. So Vishnu Chakravarti, in one of his purport in the 10th canto, he talks about the different stages of attachment with the opposite sex. He talks about 10 stages of attachment with the opposite sex. So he says the first stage is Chakshuraga, or attraction through eyes. And then Chitta Sangha, intense attachment in the mind. And then third stage is Sankalpa, or determination. And fourth stage is loss of sleep, or Nidra Cheda. Fifth stage is a person becomes emaciated, or he becomes thin and lean, tanuta, it's called as tanuta. And then sixth stage is vishaya nivrittis, means, like, he completely loses interest in all external things. And then he comes to a stage of trapa nasha, a person becomes completely shameless. And then Trapanasha. And then the eight stages, a person becomes completely mad after the object, or Unmada. And then nine stages, a person becomes stunned by the opposite sex, or it is called as Murcha. And then the last stage is Mrityu, or he dies. So that's what, these are the 10 stages. Chittasanga, intense attachment in the mind. Chakshuraga, Chittasanga, Sankalpa, Nidra Cheda, Tanuta, Vishaya Nivrittis, Trapanasha, Unmada, Murcha and Mrityu.
Prabhuji, where it is given? 10th?
The 10th canto, when Krishna enters Mathura, the ladies of Mathura, when they actually first see Krishna, it is described that just by looking at Krishna, instantly they became stunned like painted pictures, and all their bracelets and different ornaments, it started actually coming out of their bodies, because they instantly lost their weight. Like, usually people lose their weight after 3-4 months, but they instantly lost their weight, and they achieved the ninth stage instantly. They became stunned like painted pictures. So he mentions in the case of the devotees, the 10th stage does not happen with respect to attraction with the devotee, the Supreme Lord. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that this shows that these ladies of Mathura are the most advanced devotees, because they developed the highest attachment instantly by looking at Krishna. Next verse. Tayaivam rama manasya kama kashmala chetasaha kshanardam iva rajendra vyatikrantam navam vayaha.
My dear King Prachini Barishan, in this way, King Puranjan, with his heart full of lust and sinful reactions, began to enjoy sex with his wife, and in this way, his new life and youth expired in half a moment.
So here, his youth expired in half a moment. So Prabhupada elaborates on this word, Kama Kashmala Chetasa, and he quotes this Govindadas bhajan, Kamala Dala Jala Jeevana Talamala Bhujahu Hari Padani Tere. So Prabhupada says that actually there is no bliss in the enjoyment of youthful life. In youth, a person becomes lusty to enjoy all kinds of sense objects. And then he says how the different sense objects are attracted towards the different senses are attracted to the different sense objects. And all of this is also very pleasing to the animals. Therefore, in human society, there are restrictions in the enjoyment of the 5 sense objects. If one does not follow, he becomes exactly like an animal. So, the material body is like a wet cloth. When the cloth is initially wet, lot of water comes out of the cloth. But as you start squeezing the body cloth, then the water, the quantity of water which comes out of the cloth is actually goes on reducing. And at a certain time, there is absolutely no water which comes out of the cloth. Similarly, the body, the capacity of the body to enjoy keeps on reducing. And then at a certain point, body cannot produce any enjoyment at all. Like one beautiful article I had read. To put in simple words, what comes fast, it does not last. The pleasure from sense gratification comes fast, but it does not last. And what does last, that is spiritual happiness, it does not come fast. It sounds like you have to actually have to patiently practice. So there was another article of Chaitanya Charitamrita I was reading. Like when Krishna explains this verse, Yehi samsparshaja boga dukkha yavane evate Adyantavanta Kaunteya Nateshu Ramate Buddha. So Krishna says that the happiness which comes from the contact of the senses with the sense objects, it has a beginning and end. And especially uses the word Dukkha Yonaya Evate. That means sense pleasure is the womb which actually gives birth to future suffering. Dukkha Yonaya Evate. So therefore, wise people do not take pleasure in them. So just like when the baby is in the womb of the mother, so when the baby is in the womb of the mother, the baby is initially invisible. In the infant stage, baby is invisible. So similarly, when a person is actually seeing different billboards or advertisements which promise different sense pleasure, the pain which comes as a result of the pleasure is actually invisible. And just like initially the baby is invisible, but in due course of time, the baby will definitely comes out of the womb. So similarly, although initially the pain is invisible when we are actually thinking about the pleasure and we are enjoying the pleasure, but in due course of time, the pain will definitely come out for sure. And in the case of the baby in the womb, we can actually prevent the baby to come out of the womb by actually aborting the baby, by aborting the child. But in the case of the sense gratification, there is no abortion by which we can actually stop the pain which will actually come as a result of the pleasure. So therefore, Krishna is saying, the intelligent people do not take pleasure. And then the next verse he says, if we also have to become intelligent, then what one should do? Krishna says that one should actually tolerate. Shaknoti yaivaiha shodam praksharira vimokshanan kama krodot bhavam vegam sayukta sasuki nara. So in order to join the ranks of the wise, we have to tolerate. And how long we should tolerate? We have to tolerate till the point of death. But then, how can a person sustainably tolerate? Because simply keep on tolerating, one can get frustrated actually. Then how can a person become sustainably tolerate? In order to sustainably tolerate, one has to look for the happiness within. So that Krishna explains in the 24th verse, that Yonta Sukontara Ramas Tatantar Jyoti Revaya Sayogi Brahma Nirvana Brahma Bhutu Adigachati. That Yonta Sukontara Ramas, that means like a yogi actually looks for happiness within, and because of that a person actually attains liberation of the Supreme. So it's like another just like, for example, when a person gets a visa, when a person gets a visa to a foreign country, he can go to a foreign country which is not his native place, and he can go to the foreign country for some time. So similarly, we are actually spirit souls, and this body is like a visa. The body is like a visa. That body allows the spirit soul to enjoy pleasure in the material platform which is actually foreign to the soul. Just like a visa allows a person to go to a foreign country, the body is like a visa which allows the spirit soul to enjoy material pleasure on the bodily platform which is actually foreign to the soul. And just like visa expires after some time the person has to again come back. So similarly, the pleasure and the bodily, at the bodily level, it actually stops after some time. It does not last for some, after it lasts forever. It stops after some time. Similarly, just like the visa expires after some time, especially at the body level also stops. So the body is like a visa, but the passport, the real passport by which we can get out of that body is the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service. So then in the second paragraph here, Prabhupada, so Prabhupada talks about especially the 15 years of youth, from the age of 16 to 30, a person has a strong capacity to enjoy sense gratification. And at this when a person comes to this particular age, a person thinks that life will go on forever. But actually, time and tide wait for no man. And then he explains that one who wastes his life simply by committing sinful activities in youth immediately becomes disappointed and disillusioned when the brief period of youth is over. The material enjoyments of youth are especially pleasing to a man who has no spiritual training. If one is trained only according to the bodily conception of life, he simply leads a disappointed life because bodily sense enjoyment finishes within 40 years or so. And after 40 years, one simply leads a disillusioned life because he has no spiritual knowledge. And for such a person, the expiration of youth occurs in half a moment. Thus, King Puranjan's pleasure, which he took in lying down with his wife, expired very quickly. And then the next paragraph, Prabhupada explains that actually even animals, they follow a regulated lifestyle in terms of, with respect to mating. Like a lion actually eats meat. But although lion eats meat, it has sex only once in a year. It has sex only once in a year. But a human being, actually, he wants to enjoy sense gratification, not at regulated times, but in an unrestricted manner. So then he explains that, according to religious injunctions, a man is restricted to enjoy sex only once in a month. So this is the law for human beings. A man is allowed to keep more than one wife because he cannot enjoy sex when the wife is pregnant. And if he wants to enjoy sex at such a time, he may go to another wife who is not pregnant. And these are the laws mentioned in the Manu Samhita and other scriptures. So, just like for example, like when you are walking in the sun, if there is a small object, sometimes an object may be very small, but the shadow of the object may be very long. There can be a long shadow, but the actual object, which is like the substance, that is like very short. So similarly, the actual pleasure of sense gratification, which is like the substance, which is very short. But the shadow comes before and after, in the sense that before the actual pleasure of sense gratification, the expectation, which is in the form of the shadow, that actually lasts for sometimes many days or many months, or depending on how much a person is obsessed. And then after the long shadow of that expectation of the pleasure, then he actually comes across that the small substance of sense gratification. And then again, after that substance is over, again he gets a long shadow in the form of disappointment, a disbelief, or getting disease, etc. And then, if a person starts analyzing, so I was expecting a lot of pleasure, but then before that I had a long shadow of misery, and then after getting a short happiness, again I had a long shadow of misery. And before even the second shadow ends, again the next shadow starts. Again he starts hoping about another pleasure. So in this way, like people get caught up in this the cycle of like shadow, substance, shadow, and then again shadow, substance, and shadow. So then, just like in a chess match, In a chess match, when a person gets defeated, it's called as like checkmate. When somebody checkmated, then there is no way by which a person can actually come out of that. It's like it's ultimate defeat. So checkmate is like the irreversible point which cannot be like reversed. So similarly, death is like the checkmate. Like for those people who are in the bodily platform, death is like the checkmate, because death puts an end to all their hopes. They cannot actually enjoy any further. But those who try to pursue spiritual life, those who try to go above the bodily platform, they understand that the death is not the all in all, but actually we just go to another body and then we can continue our spiritual life. So if how can a person avoid this checkmate? So Chaitanya Charitamrita has mentioned in an article that those who check the urge to mate, they avoid checkmate. It's like, so those who check the urge to mate, that means like those who try to avoid, like when a person is absorbed in sense gratification, like he gets checkmated at the point of death. It's like he becomes completely disillusioned and there is no hope for him. But those who avoid the check the urge to mate, urge for sense gratification, and those who pursue spiritual life, they don't get disturbed by death, because they understand that there is life after death, and they continue to practice spiritual life in their evolution of self-realization. So like there are certain Western psychologists, like Sigmund Freud, like he mentioned that actually one should not try to repress oneself. One should not try to actually keep saying no to the sense gratification, because at a certain point one will explode like a the pressure cooker. So he says that the mind is like a pressure cooker. If we try to repress the mind, one day the mind will explode. But when the Vedas actually describe the mind, Vedas don't describe the mind as a pressure cooker. Vedas describe the mind as a child. So nature of the child is restless, but the child can be trained. So mind is restless, but if we train the mind properly, then the mind can actually say no to sense gratification. So Devamrita Maharaj was explaining in a class that when the materialistic people, they accuse the thieves or they accuse the spiritualists by saying that, oh, you are an evolution denier. You actually deny evolution, Darwin's evolution theory. Or they say that you are an intelligent designer acolyte. Acolyte means like a priest or assistant to priest. Like you are an intelligent designer acolyte. That means like you worship God and you say that, oh, he is an intelligent designer who designed everything. You actually deny evolution. And they call the thieves as, you are all religious fanatics. And what do the thieves say to the materialists? They accuse the materialists by saying, you are suffering from biologism. That means you think that biology is everything. Means like you think that actually ultimately life is composed of chemicals. And by different chemical secretions, we can actually get more happiness. By different secretions of the hormones and by artificial injection of the chemicals, we can get more happiness. So, we'll go to the next verse. The next verse describes how Puranjan begot 1100 sons and then 110 daughters. Tasyam ajana yad putran put. Puranjayan Puranjanaha Shatan Yekadasha Virat Ayushurdam Atatyagat.
The great sage Narad then addressed King Prachini Barishad. O, one whose lifespan is great, Virat, in this way King Puranjan begot 1,100 sons within the womb of his wife, Puranjani. However, in this business, he passed away half of his lifespan.
So he begot 1,100 sons in the womb of Puranjani. So Prabhupada says that usually the lifespan is 100. A person can beget children up to the age of 50. But in Kali Yuga, although the lifespan has reduced, but still people beget children up to the age of 60. Prabhupada is mentioning that. Maybe he must have noted somewhere and he must have writing that point. And second point he mentions is that Puranjan, like, he had the capacity to produce such huge quantities of children, 1,100 sons and 110 daughters. But presently, people don't have such capacity. Mankind is very busy checking the increase of population by contraceptive methods. So then Prabhupada explains that how the people have become so sinful that they do not care for the resultant reactions of their sinful life. He says that the real contraception is that one should follow the method of restraint in sex life. That is the real contraception one should follow. And then he explains that if a man is in good consciousness, he consults with his religious life, and as a result of this consultation with intelligence, one advances in his ability to estimate the value of life. In other words, if a person is fortunate enough to have a good conscientious wife, he can decide by mutual consultation that human life is meant for advancing in Krishna consciousness. So then he says that children are nothing but the expansion of one's consciousness. They are called as parinama, or the byproducts, or they should be the expansion of one's Krishna consciousness. Next to us, duhitra dashottara shatam pitru matru yashaskari shilaudarya gunopeta pauranjanya prajapate.
O Prajapati, King Prachin Varishat, in this way King Puranjan also begot 110 daughters. All of these were equally glorified like the father and mother. Their behavior was gentle and they possessed magnanimity and other good qualities.
So here it is explained that all these children had very good qualities. Shilau Darya Gunopeta. And they possessed magnanimity and other good qualities. So Prabhupada says that these children of Puranjan, they were not Varna Sankara because they had actually good they had good qualities. And then he explains what is the nature of a Varna Sankara population. Varna Sankara population, they are irresponsible to the family and they are irresponsible to the society and they are irresponsible to themselves also. So there is one beautiful purport in the 7th canto. Prabhupada writes about Varna Sankara. He says, when there is a Varna Sankara population, people cannot be properly controlled for peace and prosperity regardless of great legislative assemblies, parliaments and similar bodies. When there is Varna Sankara population, how much ever you may enforce the rules, etc., it's not possible to actually control them. It is like expecting, after sowing orange seed, you are expecting mango out of it. How much ever you may, after once you have sown the orange seed, then how much ever you may put effort, mango will not come out of it. You have to ultimately uproot that seed and then you have to sow the mango, then only mango will come. You can say like that. When there is Varna Sankara population, regardless of great legislative assemblies, they cannot be properly controlled for peace and prosperity. So then another point which Prabhupada explains is that the number of sons were actually greater than the number of daughters. This shows that the Puranjan's family life was very comfortable and pleasing. Even the number of sons are greater than the number of daughters, family life is comfortable and pleasing. Because sometimes one Grahastha devotee was mentioning, was saying, actually nowadays we cannot depend on the sons only, we can depend on only on the daughters, like that. He was giving some realization. But in general, this is the point that Vishwanatha Chakravarti also mentions that when the number of sons are more, it is considered proper in household life to have more sons. Next verse. Sa panchalapati putran pitru vamsha vivardhanan dharai samyojayam asa duhitru sadrushair varai.
After this, King Puranjan, the king of the Panchal country, in order to increase the descendants of his paternal family, married his sons with qualified wives and married his daughters with qualified husbands.
So how he arranged for this sons and daughters with the qualified people is described. So Prabhupada explains that why a living entity, a father, arranges for the sons and daughters so that in order to increase the dynasty and so that they will continue to offer pinda to the forefathers. He can get the pinda from the descendants, which will actually help him to get a better destination in the future. The offering of oblation in the name of Lord Vishnu is called Pindodaka, and it is necessary that the descendants of family offer pinda to the forefathers. So this verse describes how Puranjan expanded his family to dynasty. And then Prabhupada also explains how it is the duty of the father and mother to arrange for the marriage of the sons and daughters. And they should not only arrange for their marriage, but they should also not allow free mixing before the marriage. But in the attitude in the modern days is that the children refuse to get married by the arrangement of their parents. So consequently, the number of Varnasankara has increased throughout the world under different names. Next verse. Putranam chabavan putra yekai kasya shatam shatam yairvai pauranjano vamsha panchaleshu sameditaha.
Of these many sons, each produce hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchal became overcrowded by these sons and grandsons of King Puranjana.
So each of them, they produced so many more sons, and in this way he got many grandsons. So Prabhupada explains that he says that Puranjan, we must remember that Puranjan is a living entity. The city Panchala is the body. The body is the field of activity for the living entity. So he says that just like we can understand that we are not the body and we are the soul, by little practical experience and also from the Shastras, we simply contemplate that our body is changing but we claim ourselves to be the soul, we can understand that we are not the body, we are the soul. Like for example, somebody who is suffering from addiction to alcohol and he is trying to come out of that addiction, but again he gets addicted to alcohol. And sometimes such person, when they get addicted to alcohol, in that intoxicated state they behave in a in a peculiar manner, and then they beat somebody or they abuse somebody, and then later when they meet with that particular person, they say that actually I'm sorry, whatever I spoke in my intoxicated state, that was not me, it was somebody else. I'm not that person, that is somebody else, like that he mentioned. So when we actually see such people who are actually addicted to alcohol, when they are trying to come out of that addiction, but again they fall victim to that addiction, we may actually feel pity on them. But we may not realize that we may also come under the category of same like person who is actually addicted to alcohol. In the case of a person who is addicted to alcohol, he behaves in a peculiar manner when under the intoxicated state, and then later he realizes that actually that was not me. But when we are in the intoxicated state of the bodily identification, one is intoxication, intoxicated state of caused by drinking alcohol, but another is intoxicated state because of identifying ourselves with the body. In the case of a person who is addicted to alcohol, but at least he has realized the fact that he is suffering from alcohol addiction. But for many of the people in this world, although they may pity on the person who is actually addicted to alcohol, but they have not realized the fact that they are suffering from the bodily misidentification. They have not realized the fact that they are actually they're suffering from the bodily misidentification. So, in that sense, although such people, they may take pity on the alcohol addicted person, but these people, they are actually worse than the person who is addicted to alcohol, because at least the alcohol addicted person has realized that he is actually suffering from the disease. But many of these people, they have not even realized that they are actually under the bodily misidentification. So therefore, in that sense, like when Prabhupada is quoting this verse, Dehi Nosmin Yatha Dehe, like this is the verse which is most often quoted by Prabhupada in all his lectures and conversations, etc. The maximum number of times Prabhupada has quoted this particular verse. So then Prabhupada explains that the sons and grandsons of Puranjan, they are compared to the actions and reactions of a living entity. And there are two kinds of actions and reactions. One is the pious and another is the impious actions. And then he quotes Narottama Thakur Bhajan, in which it is mentioned that both Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, both are compared to cups of poison. And whoever drinks of them must struggle very hard life after life. Yeah, there is a beautiful point in the next page. So Prabhupada, in the next page, he talks about how everything in this world expands from sex life. And then he says, a grihamedi is one who wants to remain within this material existence. This means that he wants to remain within his body, a society, and enjoy friendship, love and community. And his only enjoyment is in increasing the number of sex enjoyers. The Grihamedi's only enjoyment is in increasing the number of sex enjoyers. In this way, the entire earth, the grandchildren also marry and in their turn produce great grandchildren. In this way, the entire earth becomes overpopulated, and then because of the different karmic reactions, and then there is war, pestilence, and then they get annihilated. In this way, creation and annihilation keeps happening again and again. Next verse. Teshu tadrikta hareshu griha koshanu jivishu nirudena mamatvena vishayesh anva badyata.
These sons and grandsons were virtually plunderers of King Puranjana's riches, including his home, treasury, servants, secretaries, and all other paraphernalia. Puranjana's attachment for these things was very deep rooted.
So you see, this theme comes many places in the forest and material enjoyment. How the family members, they are called as the plunderers. Swajanakya dasyu. There is a term used in fifth canto. So they are considered as plunderers. So material world is a place where everyone is trying to take advantage of others. In fact, the scriptures say, even those people who are closest to you, they act as plunderers. This, in one sense, this is like a, if somebody who is a stranger who is trying to steal, then it's not a very unsafe situation because you can try to avoid the strangers. But if the very people whom you are staying with, if they try to plunder, that is like the worst situation. That is like the most dangerous situation, the people whom you stay with. So we can see the material world is such a place where the very people whom you stay with, the family members and relatives, they are called as the plunderers. So we can see by this actually what is the nature of the material world, how the miserable nature of the material world. But of course, one devotee was explaining that although material world is such a worse place, even the closest people are called as the plunderers. But when a person cultivates the sincere attitude of service, by that attitude of service, we can actually transform any situation. We can transform any situation by making Krishna as a center. When a person thinks that I am actually Krishna, I am a servant of Krishna, and Krishna has given these people, these family members to me, so that I can actually serve them. So, like, if a person develops this attitude, when a person develops the service attitude, then by the service attitude, he can transform the most dangerous situation also into a good situation. Instead of thinking, oh, these people are plunderers, if a person thinks, oh, Krishna has given these people so that I can take care of them. And by that service attitude, he can transform the situation. So here again another beautiful point here. So Prabhupada quotes, he gives an example of some interaction with a businessman. He says one businessman he had met, and this businessman had some 11 wives, half a dozen wives, and he had many sons and grandsons, and Prabhupada was talking with this businessman. But this businessman was busy earning so many thousands of money for his sons and grandsons. He says, such industrialist businessmen are karmis. They are called as mudas in the shastras. And so they work very hard, accumulate money, and are satisfied to see that this money is plundered by their sons and grandsons. Actually, like Bhagavatam's purports are really heavy actually. Like such people do not want to return their wealth to its actual owner. So then he mentions two points. He says the materialistic way of life in a nutshell, what it is, he says materialistic people, they first plunder the money from God. They plunder the money from God. And then secondly, and they take pleasure, they enjoy their money being plundered by their family, their relatives and others. And this is the materialistic way of life in a nutshell. So then Prabhupada in the next page he quotes this three verses from the 16th chapter. Idam adhya maya labdham, imam prapsye manoratham. Idam asti idam api me bhavishyati punardhanam. How the demoniac people, they actually they say, oh, this much is mine, this much wealth is mine, today I will give this much in charity. Ishwaroham aham bogi siddhoham balavan suki audio abhijanavan masmi konyo sisadishwamaya. I will perform these many sacrifices. I am the Ishwara, I am the enjoyer, I am the I am perfect, like that demoniac person thinks. Next verse. Ije chakratu birgo rair dikshita pashu marakai devan pitran bhutapatin nana kamo yata bhavan.
The great sage Narad continued, "My dear King Prachinabharishad, like you, King Puranjan also became implicated in so many desires. Thus he worshipped demigods, forefathers and social leaders with various sacrifices which were all very ghastly because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals."
So this is a very beautiful verse. In this verse, for the first time, Narada Muni is actually indicating about the purpose of he telling the story. Because he is mentioning Yatha Bhavan, like you, this Puranjan was engaged in performing different sacrifices, worshipping the demigods, forefathers, etc. So for the first time, Narada Muni is actually giving a hint to Prachina Bharishad. So we like when we are actually I gave some example in a class, and later the devotee commented, he said deep in my heart, that devotee said, like sometimes we are more excited to tell the particular analogy or a story or a joke than the purport or the conclusion or the message behind the story. Like sometimes when we discover some new analogy or some new example or something, we are more excited to tell that story. We may think, oh, the purport though people know anyway. Like suppose the material world is miserable, or many people don't, they know the philosophy, but we may be more excited to tell the analogy than actually the message. Or in telling the story, we may get carried away by telling the story that we may not ultimately give emphasis to the purport of that story. We may actually we may lose the purpose of telling that analogy or that story, in actually to drive away the particular philosophical point. But Narada Muni is actually focused in his purpose of actually telling the story. He doesn't, he's not simply taking pleasure in telling the story to give some entertainment to him, but he is actually focused on his purpose. Therefore, he's mentioning, he's giving a hint to him, just like you. That means he's giving a hint to him, this story of Puranjan is actually nothing but your story. That's what he's giving the hint here. So here Prabhupada says, that generally the karmis, what do they do? Karmis, they are attached to increasing their descendants. And in order to perform that, in order to increase the descendants, they perform so many sacrifices, they worship the demigods, they worship the pitrus, etc. This is how the Vedic karmis, in order to increase the descendants, they perform these activities. And then in the next line, Prabhupada explains the modern karmis, what activities they perform. So modern karmis, he refers to scientists. The so-called scientists are very eager to see that future generations will live very comfortably, and they are trying to find different means of generating energy to drive locomotive, cars, airplanes and so on. And then the next line, he explains about how the transcendentalists act. He tells how the Vedic karmis act, the modern karmi, the scientists they act, and then how the transcendentalists act. For that he quotes, Yavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. They are resolute in their purpose, and their aim is one. And then, then the next paragraph, Prabhupada explains how the karmis and the demoniac people, their activities are centered around animal killing. In the case of Vedic karmis, it is centered around animal sacrifices. But in the case of the modern karmis, it is centered around animal killing, slaughterhouses. And when they eat meat, in order to digest the meat, they have to drink liquor. And then because they are eating meat and then they are drinking liquor, in order to have a proper balance, and they have to have sufficient sexual intercourse to keep it fit to work very hard like an ass. In this way, actually, meat eating leads to other illicit sex and intoxication also, he explains. And then in the next paragraph, Prabhupada talks about two ways of animal killing. One is the religious way, and another is the irreligious manner. So here he says that a Vaishnava, so Narada Muni is telling that thus this Puranjan worshipped the demigods by performing animal sacrifices, which were all very ghastly. The word used is that iticha kratubir gorair dikshitai pashu maraka, in which poor animals are killed, which are ghastly because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals. So Prabhupada says a Vaishnava Acharya like Narada Muni knows very well that persons engaged in such animal killing in the name of religion are certainly becoming involved in the cycle of birth and death, forgetting the real aim of life. So here we see Narada Muni, when he is actually preaching to Prachina Barishad, he is compassionate towards the animals who are being killed, and he was also compassionate to Prachina Barishad who is performing this animal sacrifice. So that is why a Vaishnava's compassion is actually complete. In the case of the modern, the altruistic people, they are compassionate only to the animals. They may not be compassionate to the human beings. And even their compassion to animals, like one class, Radhana Swamara was explaining, there was a radio interview in America, it was going on. So in the radio interview, people were talking about that one dog was actually tied by a chain to a particular pole. And they were saying, oh, dogs should not be tortured like that. And then somebody asked a question, what did you have in the breakfast? And that person said, I had a hot dog in my breakfast. Hot dog means something, some type of chicken or something, some meat, something. It's like, they are talking, they are apparently showing compassion to animals, but even in that actually only showing compassion to one people. But Narada Muni's compassion, he's not only compassionate towards the animals, he's also compassionate towards Prachina Barishad. So his concern for Prachina Barishad is also exhibited. That's why he's saying Yata Bhavan, and he's preaching to Prachina Barishad, and he's also compassionate towards the animals. That's why he's saying Gorair Pashu Marakai. So that is why the compassion of a Vaishnava is complete, in the sense he is compassionate towards all living entities. And then Prabhupada quotes that how animal killing in the Vedas is just a concession but not recommended. And then he says that animal killing is not sanctioned by both the Supreme Personality of Godhead as well as a devotee. So for that he quotes how Narada Muni did not sanction animal killing. For that he quotes Narada Muni's instruction to Vyasadev, Jugupsitam Dharma Kritenu Shasata Sabhava Raktasya Mahan Vyatikrama. That day, when he chastised Narada Muni, Vyasadev, by saying, you have committed an abominable act by encouraging people to perform karmakanda activities. So this is the proof that how devotees did not sanction animal killing. And then as an example for even the Supreme Lord does not actually recommend animal killing, he gives the example of Buddha, how he appeared to stop the animal killing. And then the next point he says is that animal killing in the name of religion is in the mode of ignorance. So therefore he quotes this 18th chapter verse that adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasa vrita sarvartan viparitamcha buddhisa partha tamasi. And then finally Prabhupada says that but the transcendental dharma is actually to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he concludes the purport by saying, at the present moment, it is the greatest misfortune that people are calling an ordinary person as God, and they are encouraging meat eating even for the sannyasis in the name of religion. This is nothing but irreligion in the name of religion, which is in the mode of ignorance. Next verse.
before Lord Ram's appearance, Dasharatha is performing a sacrifice, you know, in which one black personality comes and gives the payasam, you know, which he is feeding to his three queens. Uh-huh. After that, so there and all, they perform this Ashwamedha Yajna, you know, uh-huh, where they offer a horse, you know, or they have Gomedha Yajna, also Ashwamedha Yajna. So that is one type of sacrifice, whereas here Prabhupada talks about offering to Goddess Kali,
hmm,
you know, and goat and other things. You know. So these two are two different things, you know. Hmm. One is offered for the Yajna, hmm, the sacrifice, which many, even Yudhishthira Maharaj performs Rajasu Yajna also.
Hmm.
You know. Whereas the other one is people in Tamaguna who want to cut goats and other things and eat. Hmm. They offer to Kali and eat. Hmm. Because as far as I know, the animal offered in the Rajasu Yajna and all, they are not meant for eating.
Yes.
They are supposed to get a human body after they are offered like that.
Mm.
So I am getting a bit confused as we read these purports.
Mm.
You know, animal killing is slaughter is very vividly spoken. Mm. So I wanted to get a clear understanding of in those yajnas where any other animals offered other than the horse or the cow, you know, were they meant for eating also for the public consumption, you know. Were they given? Because that I wanted to, because he was Kriya Kandesh Nishnatam, which says he was mostly performing Karma Kanda sacrifices.
Hmm.
And another question comes to my mind that, you know, even if somebody offered a horse or a cow, what is the problem? They are getting a human body.
Hmm.
You know, and this Vedic sacrifices are quite perfect.
Hmm.
So, but now the whole discussion is going in another direction of worldwide, you know, modern people slaughtering so many things, and also the king is also being strongly criticized with Narada Muni for killing so many animals. In fact, Narada Muni showed him also some vision of you know, how these animals will attack you back, which means where all his sacrifices he did were all faulty, and due to which all the animals will attack him, or apart from the sacrifices also he was cutting animals also. So these questions I want to be very clear.
I think if I remember properly, in the 25th chapter, one of the beginning purports, Prabhupada says that Prachina Barishad was performing sacrifices like one after another. One sacrifice would stop, another would start, another that would stop, another would start. Over intelligence. Like Prabhupada said, like we should have performed Sankirtan like that, like everywhere, like that he mentions the purport. I think in that, if I remember, mentions that because he was performing so many sacrifices, he was committing many mistakes in those sacrifices also. And because the mistakes were performed, many animals were not getting a human form of life. They were actually waiting to actually kill him. So those Narada Muni gave the vision of those animals who were actually waiting to actually kill Prachina Barishad. And what was the other point you asked him? In the case of offering to Kali, according to the Vedic rules, in the sense that one can offer it to Kali, but there are so many rules involved, like Prabhupada explains in the purport, only after the Amavasya night, on the outskirts of the village, like that, the rules are mentioned. But presently, like, people don't follow any of these rules. They only eat meat. So I think Prabhupada is condemning that, I think.
In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur purport, 26th chapter, 6th verse, where the rules for hunting is given, rules for meat eating for the king is given. So hunting is not allowed simply because one is passionate, it is restricted. The tendency is limited. 6 rules are shown. If he is very attached to eating meat, he can hunt, but it should be for Shraddha rites, Tirtheshu, on special occasions, not daily Shraddha rites. So I had a similar question as what Prabhu was asking. Like, and even in recently while reading Mahabharata also, there was an instance where the king was asked to go and hunt and get meat for some Shraddha, for offering to some Pitrus. So Prachina Barhishat could be doing, he could be doing one set of sacrifices where he does animal sacrifice for the, like Ashwamedha or other things, and the second could be that he could be going to the forest and getting meat for these kind of Shraddha thing, because it's mentioned in the translation and purport as well, 426.6 mm-hmm. of Vishnu Chakravartaku.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I might be adding to the question, so did Pitru, those kind of sacrifices done for the Pitrus could be involving in meat eating, like by the way it is described, because the king has to go to the forest, kill animals and bring the animal for Shraddha rites. So that they are the set of animals that are waiting to kill him, that could be one reason. That's what I have.
Another is like, even you know, there are instances of people eating meat in the previous yugas. Certain they had the capacity to actually digest that also. Like, they had the capacity to digest. So we cannot, like many times the tendency of the conditioned soul is that they try to impose their rule, the rule of their particular time and place, on somebody else who is in some other yuga or some other place. So it's also there. So we'll go to the next verse.
Like, the people performing sacrifices just compared to like a scientist performing some experiment in the laboratory. So it is just to verify whether the test has been correct or not. So similarly, the animal getting a human form is understood by the test, like when they are sacrificed, it is understood that the sacrifice was correct. So I just wanted to know whether it is like evident to them that they have got the human body, or it is not noticeable to them, those who are performing sacrifice. If at all it is evident, then they can understand, like they are going to be getting the consequences of that.
Listen, one thing I feel, because he was performing so many animal sacrifices, like sometimes when you are doing same thing in huge quantity, sometimes you might lose track of the quality, whether the animal is actually getting a human form. It can become, may not be so cautious about verifying whether this animal is getting a human form or not. So because of that, he was performing so many sacrifices, he was not cautious about the mistakes. He was so much absorbed in performing so many sacrifices, because the reason was that he was absorbed in going to heavenly planets, because all the purpose of all these karmakanda sacrifices go to achieve heavenly pleasure. So then he didn't, he might have committed mistake in not verifying the animals are getting human form. We don't know exactly how they actually, the animal directly gets a human form directly in front of their eyes, like how they exact,
because we are never, whether it is like beyond their conception. Does it come into their notice, like this particular animal I have sacrificed and he has awarded human form, just like we come to know as the result in our laboratories experiments we conduct. So Prabhupada giving this analogy, because of which I thought maybe they are also understanding that this animal, they are getting human form, they are aware of it. Because Prabhupada gave this analogy.
Yeah, but in this case, Prabhupada is also mentioning that many of the animals were not they did not get the human form of life. They were actually waiting to kill. Mantras were not chanted properly. Mistakes were committed. So they were waiting to actually devour Prachina Parishad. Because otherwise, those animals got human form of life. Why would those animals be actually would be angry with Prachina Parishad? The fact that they were the angry way they were waiting to kill him, that means like they were actually killed. They were not elevated. And the mistakes were committed because he was so many sacrifices were performed. When you are in the mode of goodness, you become cautious and you become little, you are aware of the, you become cautious about the quality. But sometimes when you start doing mechanically, and then you forget the, fail to take care of the mistakes. We'll just take a 5 minutes break and then we'll continue.
small announcement. And morning, I forgot those two acronyms now. Now I remembered now. A for austerity and S for sattvic behavior. So G-L-A-S-S now. Correct? Those two I didn't remember, correct? Management. Place, glass, P-L-A-C-G-L-A-S-S. So two of them I had forgotten. So now I remembered it all.
Krishna. There is one small announcement from Gaurang Darshan Prabhu. Tomorrow the class will be from 8:30 to 11. The place will be, tomorrow will be announced where it will be. But timing 8:30 to 11 tomorrow class. Class timing and given by Balram Shakti Prabhu.
युक्तेष्येवं प्रमत्तस्य कुटुम्बासक्तचेतसः आससादसवैकालो यो प्रियप्रिययोषिताम्.
Thus King Puranjan, being attached to fruitive activities, karmakandya, as well as kith and kin, and being obsessed with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at that point, not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things.
So Puranjan came to the point of death, which is actually, or he reached old age, which is not liked by people who are attached to material things. So Prabhupada says that Priya Yoshitam, that means like death is not very much welcome for those who are too much attached to material enjoyment, which culminates in sex. Then he tells the story of this Sadhu meeting four people, and Sadhu met the prince. He said that you live forever. And when the Sadhu met the saint, he said you either live or you may die. And he told the hunter, you neither live nor you die. And he told the brahmachari that you should die immediately. And Prabhupada is telling that story because the prince is enjoying a life of sense gratification. After death, he will go to hell. So the sadhu said that you continue to live forever. You continue to live for a long time so that because after death, you are going to hell. And he told the saint that because you are doing so many welfare activities for people, so if you are living also, you are going to give benefit to the people. And if you die, you will go to the spiritual world. So you may either live or you may die. And in the case of the hunter, because he is engaged in abominable animal killing, he said the present life itself is miserable and your future life is also going to be miserable. So you neither live nor you die. And in the case of a brahmachari, because the life of a brahmachari may involve so many austerities, he is saying that you please die immediately. That way gave different benedictions to them. So Prabhupada is quoting this story in regards to this statement. Death is not very much welcome for those who are too much attached to material enjoyment. So then in the next paragraph, Prabhupada talks about how people try to make scientists are trying to make man immortal through scientific advancement. Under the leadership of such crazy fellows, civilization is going on. And the ancient example for this, those people who try to make man immortal is Hiranyakashipu. Next verse. Chandavega yitikyato gandharva adipater nripa gandharvastasya balina shashtyuttara shatatrayam.
O king, in Gandharva Loka, there is a king named Chandavega. Under him, there are 360 very powerful Gandharva soldiers.
So he tells that, he also tells figuratively that how the old age has arrived. Father T. May explains that there is a king called as Chandavega, who is the king of the Gandharva Loka planet. He arrived along with his 360 male soldiers and 360 female soldiers. So Chandavega represents the time factor. Or Chandavega means that that which is very swiftly passing away. So time is such a thing that you don't perceive the passing of time. Just like, again the same example, that wind carries away the clouds, but you don't see the wind carrying the cloud. So time is destroying everything, but you don't see somebody called as personification of time coming and destroying. Invisibly, time is actually destroying everything. So that's called as Chandavega, that which is very swiftly passing away. And then Prabhupada explains that how with the rising and setting of the sun, people's lifespan are decreasing, except for those who are engaged in hearing Krishna Katha. Ayur harati vaipamsam udyanastam chayanasav tasyarte katida kyarta uttama shloka vartaya. And then he also explains why this Chandavaga is called as the king of Gandharva Loka. Because Gandharva, the term Gandharva is used to actually describe something illusory. Gandharva Nagara, to describe something illusory. So our losing our lifespan is taken as advancement of age by the materialists. And this is illusory. This imperceptible passing away of the days of life is figuratively referred to in this verse as the Gandharvas. And these Gandharvas, this king of the Gandharva Loka, that is Chandavega, he came along with his soldiers who are 360 in male and there are 360 female soldiers. So they represent the day, they represent the days and nights of the year. So Vishnu Chakravartakur says that Chandavega represents the year. Chandavega, which is the year, was the leader of the Gandharvas. And his assistants, the 360 day male assistants and female assistants, they are the days and nights of the year. 360 days and nights of the year. And they encircled the city of Puranjan. That means they actually attacked him. They actually tried to actually take away his lifespan. So one point which is explained is that our lifespan, Prabhupada writes in the next purport, he explains that time plunders right from the beginning of the birth. It is not that time attacks a person at a certain age. Time attacks right from the beginning of the birth. And secondly, explains that time plunders our entire lifespan. And not only that, time plunders even the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment. He mentions these three points in the 14th verse purport. Gandharvyas tadrishirasya maitunyascha sita sita parivritya vilumpanti sarva kama vinirmitam.
Along with Chandavega were as many female Gandharvis as there were soldiers, and all of them respectively plundered all the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment.
So it's explained that 360 male soldiers, they are actually white in complexion. The 360 female soldiers, they were black in complexion. So the white complexion soldiers, they are compared to the days, and the female soldiers are compared to the nights. Or another explanation is that the 360 male soldiers, they were, and 360 female soldiers, they are compared to the two kinds of knights. Both are actually knights, but there are two kinds of knights. One is the waxing knight and another is the waning knight. In that sense, they are actually black and white in complexion. So Prabhupada, he writes in the purport that the demoniac mentality is employed in manufacturing various machines to facilitate the process of sense gratification, such as machines for washing dishes, cleansing the floor, shaving, clipping hair. So everything is done by machines. But all these facilities are described in this verse as sarva kama vinirmitam. And all these machines for sense gratification, they deteriorate with the time factor. So not only our lifespan is being expended, even the machines which are being manufactured, they also deteriorate. So everything is being plundered from the very beginning of our lives. And then he quotes this verse, puna punas charvita charvananam, chewing the chewed. Whether we squeeze sugar out of the sugar cane with our teeth or a machine, the result is the same sugar cane juice. Next verse. Te chanda vega anuchara puranjana puram yada hartum arebire tatra pratyashedat prajagaraha.
When King Gandharva Raja Chandvega and his followers began to plunder the city of Puranjana, a snake with five hoods began to defend the city.
So the snake which began to actually defend the city, that represents the life here. So Prabhupada, Vishnu Chakatagura explains that that till the age of 50, a person has some strength. But after a person reaches the age of 50, for 2 or 3 years, the strength does not decrease. But after 2-3 years, I mean like 52 or 53 years, the strength starts decreasing. But he speaks from the point of view of the strength of the people in the previous age. Because now, not be like that. But he explains that after 52 or 53, the strength starts decreasing. So, although that time was destroying the lifespan right from the beginning, it attacks a person right from the beginning. Initially, we may not perceive how the life share is actually fighting with the time. But after 52 or 53, after a certain number of years, then a person actually feels that how the fight is going on. Next verse. So even when the person is actually sleeping, the life years are active within the body. Yes, next verse. Sa saptabhishatayeko vimshatyacha shatam sama puranjana puradyaksho gandharvair yuyude bali.
The five-hooded serpent, the superintendent and protector of the city of King Puranjan, fought with the Gandharvas for 100 years. He fought alone with all of them, although they numbered 720.
So again, Prabhupada explains, actually the battle began right from the birth and it lasted for 100 years. One has to fight these soldiers throughout one's lifespan, beginning with birth and ending with death. And this fight is called the struggle for existence. But although, despite the struggle, the living entity does not die, because living entities na jayate mriyate eva kadachin nayan bhutva bhavita vana buyaha. Next verse. Kshiyamane sva sambande yekasmin bahu biryuda चिंतां परां जगामार्त सराष्ट्रपुर बांधवः.
Because he had to fight alone with so many soldiers, all of whom were great warriors, the serpent with five hoods became very weak. Seeing that his most intimate friend was weakened, King Puranjan and his friends and citizens living within the city all became very anxious.
So here, the life here is fighting alone with Chandavega along with his 720 soldiers, 360 male and 360 female. So Prabhupada explains that a person can fight with many people for some time, but not for all time. So life here was fighting with all these people for some time, but after 52 years, after 53 years, he couldn't actually fight. The fight, he starts getting, he initially was not getting defeated, but after a certain time, life here starts getting defeated by this fight with this many people, because life here was becoming weak. So that means a person was becoming old. Then Prabhupada, in the next part of the purport, he explains, generally people say that, oh, when a person becomes old, then one should take to religious life, should perform pious activities. But actually meditation in the old age, it is actually simply a farce for those who have enjoyed life in sense gratification. Like farce means it's like an empty act. This like a, some kind of a, it's an object of joke. It is like a funny. Meditation only in old age, it is a farce. Simply a farce for those who enjoyed life in sense gratification. And especially meditation in the old age has become a fashion nowadays. That is another point which Prabhupada says. And third is that, so many times in the old age people do some meditation, and such meditation they pass on in the name of transcendental meditation, which is actually a cheating. I think there is one nice Prabhupada pastime. One person was telling, my guru is telling that purpose of meditation is to something you mentioned related to mind. Prabhupada said, give me the dictionary of what is the meaning of the word transcendental. A transcendental means that which goes beyond the mind. If the purpose of your transcendental meditation is actually on the platform of the mind, really how can it be called as transcendental meditation, which is supposed to go beyond the mind? Next verse. Sa eva puryam madubhuk panchaleshu swaparshadi upanitam balim grikshnan strijito navidadbayam.
King Puranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchala and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death.
So King Puranjan, because of being control, he was enjoying insignificant pleasures. Sa eva purya madubhuk. Prabhupada translates as enjoying sex life. Vishnu Chakotaku says that madubhuk means enjoyed insignificant pleasures. He enjoyed insignificant pleasures along with his followers. Panchaleshu swaparshadai. And controlled by women, stree jito, and upaniitam balim grikhnan, accepting taxes brought from the five provinces, and because of that he did not know fear, na vidat bayam. So Prabhupada talks about the nature of Kali Yuga government. They collect taxes only to actually increase their sense gratification. And in fact, some leaders, they not only collect taxes for the increasing the sense gratification, they don't even believe in life after death. Or they believe in Charvak philosophy. That Charvak says that eat. Eat, drink and be merry. That whatever you may do, actually eat good food cooked with ghee. Do not worry about next life, because who has seen next life? Rinam Kritva. Next verse. Kalasya duhita kachit trilokim varamichyati pariyatanti na barhishman pratyanandata kashyana.
My dear King Prachini Barish, at this time the daughter of formidable time was seeking her husband throughout the three worlds. Although no one agreed to accept her, she came.
So now, in the rest of the chapter from 19 to 30th verse, Narada Muni, in order to describe this arrival of a old age, he describes in a very, through another story, another figurative story, like how the old age arrived. Old age is called as Kala Kanya, the daughter of time personified. Chakravarti Bhad mentioned Chandavaga represents 1 year. Because that's also time. So, old age is figuratively explained here as a daughter of time. No one likes her, but she is very much anxious to accept anyone as her husband. Because nobody likes to become old and invalid. So this is these purports are very beautiful purports in the last. Daurbhagyenatmano loke vishruta durbhageti sa yatushta raja rishayetu vratadat puravevaram.
The daughter of time, Jara, was very unfortunate. Consequently, she was known as Durbhaga, ill-fated. However, she was once pleased with a great king, and because the king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction.
So daughter of time is called as unfortunate, Durbhaga, because nobody wanted her, because she brings misfortune to everyone, so therefore she is called as Durbhaga, one who is unfortunate. But once she pleased, she was pleased with a great king, because that king accepted her. And in reciprocation to that, that king who accepted her, she actually gave a gift to that particular king. So what Narada Muni is saying is that he is telling the story of Yayati and his son Puru. He's telling, that's why Prabhupada quotes the story in brief, that Yayati Maharaj, how he married the daughter of Shukracharya, Devayani, and along with Devayani, Sarmishta also came. And Yayati Maharaj, he also started enjoying with Sarmishta, and Devayani came to know. Devayani became angry with Yayati, and then she went and complained to her father, Shukracharya. And Shukracharya cursed Yayati to lose his youth, to become old. But then Yayati, he was very much attached to sense gratification. So he pleaded with Shukracharya, how can I get back my youth? And Shukracharya felt that, oh, even by this curse, even my daughter will also suffer. So then he said that, okay, if you exchange your youth, old age with somebody, with the youth of one of your sons, by that you can regain your youth. Then Yayati asked his different sons, but all the sons denied except for the youngest son Puru. So three of the sons denied. I think he had five sons or four sons? Five sons. Three of the sons denied because they wanted to enjoy their youth. The fourth son, Yadu, denied because he knew that in the future he has a service to perform, because Krishna is going to appear in his dynasty. But Puru actually accepted the proposal of his father, and then Puru exchanged his youth with the old age of Yayati. Because Puru actually accepted old age, so the king which is referred to is actually Puru. So Jara became pleased with that great king. So Yayati Maharaj gave his kingdom later after enjoying his youth, then later he gave the kingdom to Puru. So as a gift to that Puru, old age afforded, she granted him a great benediction. It means like he got a kingdom. So that is what is explained here. So Prabhupada also explains, the other sons of Yayati who were disobedient to their father, they were given kingdoms outside of India, most probably Turkey and Greece. The purport is that one can accumulate wealth and all kinds of material opulences, but during old age one cannot enjoy them. So one should not wait for the old age in order to become Krishna conscious. Due to the invalidity of old age, one cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness, however opulent he may be materially. Kadachit atamanasa brahma lokan mahim gatam vavre brihadvratam mamtu janati kama mohita.
When I once came to this earth from Brahma Loka, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering over the universe, met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her.
So here, Narada Muni is saying, once I came from the higher planets to the earthly planet, and this old age thought that I am also like an earthly human being, and she proposed to me that I must actually accept her. And because I was also a brahmachari, and she became attracted to me, and she proposed that I accept her. So Prabhupada says here, it requires great strength to resist a woman's attraction. It is difficult for old men, then what to speak of young men. Those who live as brahmacharis must follow in the footsteps of the great sage Narada Muni, who never accepted the proposals of Jara. And those who are too much sexually addicted become victims of Jara, and very soon their lifespan is shortened. Next verse. Mayi samrabhya vipula madat shapam sudushraham statum arhasi naikatra madhyachna vimukho mune.
The great sage Narada continued, when I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said that I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time.
So when Narada Muni refused, Jara actually cursed Narada Muni that he cannot stay at a place for a long time. So here, Narada Muni, although Narada Muni was cursed by Jara, but Narada Muni actually, he wanted to do something good for this Jara. Narada Muni refused to Jara, but he wanted to give shelter to Jara. So Narada Muni said, you go and approach the king of the Yavanas and he will give shelter to you. So here Prabhupada explains that Narada Muni, although he was cursed, Narada Muni accepted that curse as a blessing. Because Narada Muni, he is the most kind devotee of the Lord, who preaches, who travels everywhere to deliver conditioned souls. And he felt that this curse is actually a benediction for me. And like Narada, there are many devotees of the Lord who are preaching in different parts of the universe. And such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of the material laws. Next verse. Tato vihata sankalpa kanyaka yavaneshwaram mayopadishta masadhya vavre nanma bayam patim.
After she was thus disappointed by me, with my permission, she approached the king of the Yavanas, whose name was Baya or Fear, and she accepted him as her husband.
In one class I was hearing, if we see the life of Narada Muni, when he was a son of the maid servant, he accept when his mother died, he accepted that curse or inauspicious situation as the mercy of the Lord. What's that verse? Anug Pratishtam Dishamuttaram, like that it comes. So he accepted that curse as a mercy of the Lord. And later, when he was cursed even by Daksha Prajapati, similar curse, that curse also accepted as the mercy of the Lord. And here, of course, this is a figurative story, but even here also Narada Muni accepted that curse of Kalakanya as the mercy of the Lord. So Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining, because Narada Muni accepted the curse as the benediction, so therefore, whenever Narada Muni would curse somebody, that curse will turn into a benediction for such a person. When Narada Muni cursed Nalakwar and Manigiri, that curse turned into a benediction for him, for them. So in that sense, mentioned that bhakti is the art of turning curses into blessings. Because he accepted the curse as a benediction, he could curse somebody which can actually turn into a benediction. Next one. Tato vihata sankalpa kanyaka yavaneshwaram mayopadishtam asadya vavre nanma bayam patim.
As she was thus disappointed by me. We read 24. Approaching the king of the Yavanas, Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying,
okay.
My dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables. I am in love with you and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you.
So here, so Narada Muni, although he was cursed by Kalakanya, but firstly he did not become angry with her. He accepted the curse as a benediction. And secondly, he refused her request, but still he wanted to do good to her by telling that, okay, you can take shelter of the king of the Yavanaraj. So Prabhupada explains that this is the nature of a Vaishnava, that Vaishnava wants to do good even to a person who actually was cursed him. So Narada Muni gave shelter to her. And this king of the Yavanas is called as Baya personified. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Narada Muni is saying that people's fear should be weakened by the influence of old age. Do not make people unnecessarily fearful. Instead of that, you approach the king of the Yavanas and you accept him as the husband. You take his shelter instead of making people fearful. That is the purport of Vishnu Chakravarti. So then Prabhupada explained that how can we actually overcome the ocean of bhaya? How can we overcome the ocean of fear? By accepting the instructions of Narada Muni, one can overcome the ocean of bhaya. So now in the 24th verse, then the Kalakanya approached the Yavanaraj and she addressed the Yavanaraj as a great hero. Rishabham Yavananam Tvam. You are the best of the untouchables. Vrine Virep Sitam Patim. And I am actually very much in love with you. Please accept me as your wife. And here Prabhupada gives a definition of a Yavana and Malecha. He says Yavana and Malecha, it does not refer to simply people living at a particular country or a particular place. Yavanas and Malechas, it refers to people who do not follow the Vedic principles. Means like, Yavanas and Malechas can be in India also if they don't follow the Vedic principles. And somebody may be abroad, but if they are following the Vedic principles, they cannot be called as Yavanas and Malechas. Like in one place in the 10th canto, first chapter, and Daitya, when the word Daitya, Bhumir Drupta, the word Daitya comes, Vishnu Chakravarti says that here the word Daitya does not refer to the sons of Diti, but here the word Daityas refer to those people who have achieved demoniac status by their activities. by the demoniac activity they achieved the status of daityas. So in that sense, whenever we see the demons or demigods, or it does not refer to people from a particular place, it refers to people who follow a certain principles or do not follow a certain principles. And then he explains that how those Yavanas and Malayas, how they do not follow the hygienic principles. So because the students in Krishna conscious movement are advised to follow the Vedic principles, they naturally become hygienic. And the next point he explains is that if a person is Krishna conscious, he can work like a young man even if he is 75 or 80 years old. So therefore, the daughter of Kala, that is Kala Kanya, cannot overcome a Vaishnava. And for that he gives the example of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. He's saying that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita at a ripe old age, and the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they began their spiritual life in their old age, and still they wrote so many books. So in our, this one is at least we can read those books. They can write their so many books in their old age, at least we can read their books. And then Prabhupada explains that how a person cannot, in order for a person to not come under the influence of old age, what one should do? One should follow the instructions of Narada Muni, and one should follow the determination of Narada Muni, and thirdly, one should worship the deities according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi given by Narada Muni. In the last paragraph he explains that. So then the next page Prabhupada explains that apparently, because a devotee rigidly follows the instructions of Narada Muni, he has no fear of old age, disease or death. Apparently a devotee may grow old, but he is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. When jara or old age takes shelter of a devotee, Kalakanya diminishes the devotee's fear. A devotee knows that after death he is going back home, back to Godhead. Therefore he has no fear of death. So when it is mentioned that old age, instead of depressing a devotee, old age helps him become fearless and thus happy. So normally people become fearless when they grow old, but in the case of a devotee does not become fearless. So when it is said, mentioned, old age does not affect a devotee, it does not mean that he doesn't get the symptoms of old age. The sense that he doesn't become unnecessarily anxious, or he doesn't become fearful of the death. In that sense, old age does not affect a person. Or in another sense, that his consciousness, if a person who has properly practiced Krishna consciousness, consciousness does not get affected. Like for example, I remember I met one Sri Vaishnava in my native place. So his father-in-law is a very prolific writer and a very great Sri Vaishnava. In fact, he had actually appreciated Prabhupada's books, and he had appreciated ISKCON, and he wrote the foreword to Bhagavad Gita as it is in Tamil. So this Sri Vaishnava, he was just sharing his interaction with his father-in-law. So his father-in-law is quite old. I think just few years back he left his body. So when he went to meet his father-in-law a few years back, he said that he was always lying down in the bed. Practically he needs the help of others for doing even the small things. But then when he went to meet him, so that he was saying that his father-in-law was talking about even some minute philosophical points and minute details of different Vaishnava literature. That he was dependent on others for so many other things, but in his consciousness he was actually so much glorifying the Lord, even talking about even the minute details of the Acharya's purports. So that devotee was sharing that. So similarly, I was thinking like similarly, Srila Prabhupada also, although he was in the deathbed, the symptoms of old age and disease were coming, but then his consciousness was so fixed that even till the point of death, he was actually dictating his Bhaktivedanta purports. So in that sense, we say that old age, a devotee is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. Symptoms of defeat means in the form of a person becoming fearful, but a devotee does not become fearful. Next verse. Dvavimavanu shochanti bala vasadavagrahav yalloka shastra panatam narati natadichyati.
Who does not give charity according to the customs or injunctions of the scriptures, and one who does not accept charity in that way are considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Such persons follow the path of the foolish. Surely they must lament at the end.
So here Kalakanya is telling to Yavanaraj that those who do not give charity according to the scriptural injunction or those who do not accept charity according to the scriptural injunction, both of them are foolish, they must lament at the end. So why is she speaking this verse? Because she is saying that I have been sent by you, I have approached you for shelter, and according to the scriptural injunctions, a kshatriya or a king should not actually reject a person who is seeking shelter. So she is quoting this verse that how when a person disregards the scriptural injunctions, such a person is foolish. So because I have come to seeking shelter of you, and according to the scriptural injunction, you should not reject a person who is seeking shelter. So therefore, if you reject me, you will be considered foolish. And not only that, I have been sent by a sadhu, Narada Muni. So both according to the sadhu and the shastra, you must actually accept me. If you reject me, you will be considered, you will be foolish, and you will have to lament at the end. So that is what she is trying to say to Yavanaraj. So that's why Prabhupada quotes this, Yaha Shastra Vidhim Utsrajya Vartate Kamakarat. Next to us. Ato bhajasva mam badra bhajanti me dayam kuru yetavan paurusho dharmo yad artan anukampate.
Kalkanya continued, O gentle one, I am now present before you to serve you. Please accept me and thus show me mercy. It is a gentleman's greatest duty to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed.
So you remember that one of the, especially when the Kshatriya or a gentleman's duty is to give shelter to those who are distressed. Yudhishthira Maharaj also asked Arjuna when he was actually morose, is the reason for your moroseness is it because that you are not able to give shelter to somebody who approached for shelter? So he is saying, Kalakanya is quoting the same principle. So Prabhupada writes a beautiful point here that Narada Muni, that the king of the Yavanas could also refuse to accept Kalakanya. But he considered the request due to the order of Narada Muni. Because Kalakanya said, I have been sent by Narada Muni. So Yavanaraj accepted, because Narada Muni had told I must accept, so I should accept. So Prabhupada is writing this beautiful point. He says, Narada Muni's instructions should be followed by people in all countries. It is meant even for the people who are living in the Yavana Deshas. So therefore the preaching of Krishna consciousness should go on in all the countries. So we see that preachers in Krishna consciousness have actually experienced that even the Yavanas and Malechas have taken to the spiritual life on the strength of Narada Muni's Pancharatrika Vidhi. Next verse. Kalakanyoditavacho Nishamya Yavaneshwara Chikirshur Deva Guhyamsa Sasmitam Tam Abhashata.
After hearing the statement of Kalakanya, daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise some means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kalakanya as follows.
So Kalakanya, when she told the previous verse, A gentleman's greatest duty is to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed. So Vishnu Chakravartakur says, Kala Kanya internally, externally she was speaking sweetly, but internally she was actually speaking harsh words to Yavanaraj by saying, if you don't accept me, I will destroy you. Internally she was saying this, but externally she spoke joking words that, oh, you must actually, dharma of a man is to show compassion to the suffering. In the 27th verse, so when Yavanaraj heard this statement of Kala Kanya, Yavanaraj actually smiled at Kala Kanya. So because Yavanaraj felt, so through Kala Kanya, I will actually carry out the, I will fulfill the secret desire of the Lord. Chikirshur Deva Guhyam Sa. What is the secret desire of the Lord? The secret desire of the Lord is that people should become fearful upon getting old. So he felt that, okay, I will direct this Kala Kanya to the whole world so that people become fearful upon getting old age. And when they become fearful upon getting old age, that fear will actually impel the people to take to spiritual life. That is ultimately the desire of the Lord. People actually should pursue self-realization. And in order to pursue self-realization, they should become fearful. And in order to fulfill this secret desire of the Lord, Yavanaraj will tell Kala Kanya, you accept the whole world as your husband. So therefore, she is actually smiling at Kala Kanya. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says that actually Krishna is the only master. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arasava Prati. Everyone is the servant of Krishna. So Yavanaraj also is a servant of Krishna. And Yavanaraj wanted to serve Krishna by introducing Kala Kanya, that is old age, everywhere throughout the world. And so then Prabhupada explains that old age leads to fear of death. And old age is an impetus to spiritual life for an intelligent person. And the king of the Yavanas tried to utilize Kala Kanya for this purpose. Next verse. Maya nirupitastubhyam patir atma samadina nabinandati lokoyam tvam abhadram asammatam.
The king of the Yavanas replied, after much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife?
So initially he is saying that actually because since you are inauspicious and mischievous, nobody likes you, so nobody accepts you as his wife, but still I have arrived at a husband for you. So Prabhupada is writing the purport that everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. Even Kala Kanya, who is old age, which nobody likes, even that old age can also be utilized in the service of the Lord. The utility is the principle. Therefore the Yavanaraj felt that the invalidity of old age can be used to arouse a sense of fear in order that people can pursue Krishna consciousness. Tvam avyakta gatirbhungshva lokam karma vinirmitam yahi me pratanayukta praja nasham praneshyasi.
This world is a product of fruitive activities. Therefore, you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Held by my soldiers, you can kill them without opposition.
So he is actually giving the whole world as a husband for her. So Vishnu Chakravartakur says that Yavanaraj is saying, with invisible movement, avyakta gatir, you must enjoy this world, bungshva, you must enjoy this world which is made of karma, lokam karma vinirmitam. And assisted by my troops, you can destroy the whole population, prajanasham praneshyasi. If you fear that the people will kill you, you don't have to be fearful, that because you will be assisted by my troops. So So Prabhupada says that actually people are engaged in inventing so many highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, and all this appears very nice for those who are simply engaged in sense gratification and those who are ignorant of their spiritual identity. And actually the nature of the material world is that there is no happiness in the material world. And people are simply engaged trying to counteract unhappiness. And then, so therefore Yavanaraj, he wanted to teach all the karmis through the agency of Kalakanya and thus try to make them aware that materialistic advancement is not actually advancement. It's not actually advancement. So the last verse is an important point. Is there? We'll conclude the last verse. Prajvaroyam mama brata tvamcha me bhagini bhava charam ubabhyam lokesmin avyakto bhima sainikaha.
The king of Yavana continued, "Here is my brother Prajarv. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you, as well as my dangerous soldiers, to act imperceptibly within this world."
So here, finally, Yavanaraj is saying that I have my brother called as Prajwara. Prajwara is actually the high fear which a person gets at the time of death. So Allah, and now I accept you as my sister. And I will employ both of you, and along with my soldiers, you can actually imperceptibly act within this world. So here, what is Prabhupada saying here is that Narada Muni sent Kalakanya so that Yavanaraj accepts her as his wife. But Yavanaraj accepted her as his sister. So then Prabhupada explained that those who do not follow the Vedic principles are unrestricted as far as sex life is concerned. Consequently, they sometimes do not hesitate to have sex with their sisters. So Yavanaraj, he wanted to follow the instruction of Narada Muni. So that is why he is giving shelter to this old age. But although he is trying to follow the instruction of Narada Muni, but still, he is thinking of illicit sex. Yavanaraj accepted the request of Narada Muni to show respect to him, but he was nonetheless thinking of illicit sex. This was due to his being the king of the Yavanas and Malechas. So what does it indicate? That means even if a person is trying to follow the instruction of superiors, but if a person does not protect himself from the bad association, that even though one may be trying to follow the instruction of the superiors, but because of the influence of the bad association, one may be thinking of committing some, breaking some regulative principles. So Yavanaraj, he wanted to follow the instruction of Narada Muni, but because of bad association, still he was thinking of illicit sex. So he said, "I accept you as a sister, but still," in fact, Vishnu Chakravarti says in this purport that Yavanaraj is saying, "I accept you as my wife as well as my sister." So that means he wanted to have illicit sex with the sister. He wanted to treat her as a wife and also as a sister. So then Prabhupada explained that how at the time of death, when a person, the temperature reaches 107 degrees, a man dies. And Yavanaraj's brother was Prajwara and Kalakanya was invalidity itself. Combined and strengthened with the soldiers of Yavanaraj, namely non-hygienic conditions, illicit sex and ultimately high degree of temperature, they would be able to smash the materialistic way of life. In this connection, it is significant that Narada was immune to the attack of Jara because old age cannot attack any follower of Narada Muni or a pure Vaishnava. So I'll stop here.
Kalakanya represent old age, and Prajwara represent high fever, high fear at the time of death. Similarly, this king of Yavana, is there any significance representation of that?
Bhaya, fear. Narada Muni says that, so I cannot give shelter, but you go, you won't you approach the king of the Yavanas, who is actually Bhaya. Yeah, this also seems like I don't know. It's not particularly mentioned that it's an allegorical story, but anyway, the principle is that. The main, like he was trying to, like what Narada Muni is trying to do is that, he's trying to tell, instead of directly telling, oh, you'll become old and you'll become fearful, even that harsh reality he's trying to tell in the form of some sweet story in order to captivate a person. That's what Narada Muni is trying to. Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati also cursed Narada Muni that you cannot stay at a place beyond 3 days. It's not really mentioned, but we can. But even whether it's a allegorical story, the Prabhupada has given so many. Like Narada Muni, he just wanted to drive the point that how you'll actually get old age, you'll become fearful. He's telling that in the form of a seed story. Prabhupada, he is giving so many more lessons in this purport of what is the definition of a Yavana, and how if we follow the in the footsteps of Narada, if we follow his instructions, we cannot actually become fearful, and how even if we try to follow the instructions of Narada Muni, because of bad association, we will be thinking of illicit sex. Rantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Please take questions for the tomorrow's exam. First question: how did Puranjan spend his youth? How did Puranjan spend his youth? In his attachment to the queen. How did Puranjan spend his youth in the attachment to his queen? Give salient points from 4th and 5th purports. Salient points from purports of 4 and 5 by Prabhupada. 15 marks. Second question. Write a brief note on the following. Write a brief note on the following based on the contents of this chapter. A. Life of Grahamedi. B. Sacrifices. C. Time. So this is for 20 marks. So your answers can include both the verses and purports. Last question. Who is Jara? What lessons does Srila Prabhupada give us through her activities in this chapter? What lessons does Srila Prabhupada give us through her activities in this chapter? This is 15 marks. Does Srila Prabhupada give through her activities in this chapter? 15 marks. 15, 20, 15. So tomorrow we'll have class from 8:30, morning 8:30 to 11 o'clock. Please take breakfast early and then reach on time. So mostly this place, but I'll confirm on the venue once again. And you can write the exam after the class, 11 o'clock. No sloka recitation tomorrow. And on 29th and 30th December, we are having this bi-monthly retreat. So we are clubbing the bi-monthly retreat part and the get-together that we have after every canto. So this time we'll have Sanat Kumar Prabhu speaking on one day on the theme celebrating others' success. So on 29th he will speak, morning 10 to 12:30 one session, and afternoon 2:30 to 3:30 one session. And from 4 o'clock onwards we can have our get together things. So 4 o'clock we'll have some drama. Then 4:30 or 4:45 we could have some quiz and our other sessions. Quiz, then mime show, then sharing experiences, then 15 questions, other games. And we'll have some videos presented by some of our Vidyapeeth devotees only. They have made some videos. We'll have them. And 6:15 to 7 o'clock we'll have Kirtan with slide show. And the second day on 30th we'll have the similar schedule with some special topic presented by His Grace Radhesham Prabhu. And evening 4 o'clock onwards we'll have our games and activities. So it's like 2 days. Okay, thank you all very much.